Okay, so today in the studio, we have Susan Carlson. Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Hey, doing really well.
It's nice to see you.
We're too.
Actually doing our interview through Skype because Susan's up north and I'm in southern Utah. We wanted to interview her, though, because I know she has an interesting hobby and story. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about your hobby.
Well, I am surprisingly a crochet pattern designer. If someone had told me when I was a kid that I would eventually be doing this in my later seasons of life, I would have said, nah, me? What?
That's what old people do,
That's
right?
That's what old people do, right? Yeah. Well, okay, I'm getting up there, but...
You're still so young. You look so great.
Thank you.
Welcome, my friends, to a Little Brighter podcast, where we interview a seemingly ordinary person with a seemingly ordinary hobby, and we find the extraordinary love and passion that makes our world a little brighter. I'm your host, Nicole Graff. Susan is one of those people who naturally makes your day a little brighter just by being herself. Her personality, as well as her designs, are a darling combination of youthful and thoughtful. I wanted to bounce back with Susan to discuss her first project and her journey to the world of where crochet meets color. Tell me, when did you start crocheting?
I was this really super wiggly, tomboyish 9-year-old. And my grandmother, who lived in the Midwest, came to visit. She was doing granny squares. And I sat down with her, and she was a lefty and I was a righty. And I don't know how she taught me. Somehow, before she left, it worked and I actually learned how. But I was a little too distracted, I think, at that age to really focus on it. So although I had the skills and they were very limited, I was interested. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I remember playing with it. I actually made a scarf for my dad out of this really squeaky black yarn, you know, super, super cheap. And I didn't, my grandma had never taught me how to fasten off. So I just kept going until I ran out of yarn. So this scarf for my dad could have wrapped around his neck 4 times, probably.
I love it.
But that was kind of my first successful, if you can call it that, project.
So you've been doing it a long time. Or did you kind of take a break from the time your grandma taught you? And
yeah. After she taught me, I didn't. I kind of set down my hook and I did other stuff. I was busy being the tomboy kid. I ran track for a bunch of years, finished up school, married kids.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was probably nearing 40
yeah.
before I picked it up again.
Oh, wow.
And decided this is kind of fun.
Cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Why did you start picking it up again?
Well, it started just kind of scrolling around on the web, finding inspiration. Since I was teeny, little kid, I can remember I had this sort of need to create things. Mm-hmm. I can remember sitting in the house and being, quote, bored, thinking, I want to make something, I don't know what. And I'd go gather materials from around the house, stuff, and I'd make something, paint it or glue it or glitter it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of what this was. I was just looking for a creative outlet. But what I discovered, and I think is kind of universal across the board, that I'm finding from so many people who do crochet and knit and do these sort of handcrafts, cross stitch or whatever it is, that it is incredibly soothing. It quiets my really noisy brain. You actually have something you can gift to someone, or you have something pretty or something useful.
Yeah. So it's like a dual
reward.
It's dual.
It's, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Where does your mind go when you're doing your hobby? Like what happens in there?
You know what? That's a really good question, because I, aside from just kind of quieting my thoughts, I can focus. I think I have ADHD kind of thing. My brain just jumps all over the place. But when I'm crocheting, I tend to kind of focus a little bit better. And so if I've got, I don't know, something that's bothering me or worrying me, I can just mull on it. And it's good for, I just feel like it's good for my spirit. I can solve problems. I think about family. I'll listen to uplifting music or uplifting books.
So it's a time to decompress. It's just a time to...
quieting, decompression, thoughtful, rhythmic, relaxing. It just really kind of, I find it super, super calming. I almost every day I feel like a need to pick up my hook and my yarn and just, even if it's for 20 minutes, if that's all I can squeeze in,
yeah.
I feel like I have to.
It's like that addictive part. Like, I think that that's pattern that we see in all of these hobbies that we talk about, is that just that little bit of that addiction to that hobby, like you need it. It's part of what you need to just survive in life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great outlet for me. So I thoroughly enjoy it.
I think it's wonderful Susan decided to pick up crochet later in life. It goes to show that any day is a great day to begin a new hobby. So if you don't regularly follow Susan, then let me fill you in a bit. Susan took her crochet hobby to the next level by creating a blog called Felted Button, where she could share and sell designs. One of my favorite words she uses to describe her blog business is brilliant. And I have to agree, that word couldn't be more accurate in describing everything about Felted Button. Her easy business model, her rainbow eye candy designs, and Susan herself are all simply brilliant. So I want to know a little bit about how it went from your hobby to your career and what the difference is between the two, or if there is one.
That's a really good question, too. Okay, so I started out just making things. And one of the things that I decided I wanted to do was I wanted to learn a lot of skills. So I picked a wide variety of kinds of patterns, lots of different stitches, lots of different techniques, so I could kind of become masterful. Everything from back and forth in rows to making 3D, what they call amigurumi. They're like little stuffed toys. Mm-hmm. You name it. I tried doing all kinds of things to grow my skill base because I just found it really intriguing. But after a while, I had so many scarves and so many gloves and so many hats and so many blankets that it's like I you can only give so many to your family and friends before they're like, please, no more. So as my closet began to fill with all of these items, I thought maybe I could sell them. There was a cute lady in that I was acquainted with that actually had sort of a boutique out of her home.
Oh, okay.
And I started selling a few designs there. Things that were unique that I had created that I hadn't used a pattern for, that were kind of my own designs. Mm-hmm. And they were selling. And she'd call me and go, hey, you got to make more. Those are just gone. So that kind of got me going, realizing that people actually liked my stuff.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, where else can I sell this stuff besides craft fairs or boutiques or whatnot?
Yeah.
And so I opened an Etsy store. I photographed the stuff. Oh, the scariest part was photographing. Got listings in my Etsy store. My sweet hubby helped me come up with logos and names and basically establish all the stuff you need to get started.
Yeah.
And I opened an Etsy store and started selling, and stuff started selling.
I love it.
Which was fabulous, but that was not what I wanted to do ultimately. Mm-hmm. I knew it because, go back to the ADHD brain, I don't like to do the same thing over and over and over and over. I knew I didn't want to do like custom work for people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When they call and say, I want 6 of these hats, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
My brain, I want to do it once and go, oh, beautiful. Okay. Now, oh, what if I try this?
So what's next? I'm done with that.
Try something new. Oh, I got this great idea. Or, oh, I saw this quilt that inspired me to do whatever.
Yeah.
So really quickly, I stopped stocking the shop with already made goods and started stocking it with patterns. And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's awesome.
It's a brilliant business. It so works. So works so well.
Yeah.
I had 1 year during my business where I think I released 19 blankets in a year.
Oh, wow.
And then another dozen smaller designs or wraps or scarves or whatever. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten near that lately.
Yeah.
I don't know why that year was so amazing, but I really pumped out a lot of patterns that year.
Yeah,
so
you had a lot in your head, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, I just had to get it out there. But I've got just over 100 designs now.
Okay, so I want to know the difference between a new idea and following a pattern for you.
When I sit down with my hook and my yarn, there are a couple things that inspire me. Colors and textures. is what I'm looking for when I'm designing. Mm-hmm. And following somebody else's pattern basically taught me
right.
how to write patterns. And thanks to my technical writing class in college, that also helped me be a pattern writer. But just working in a whole bunch of different designers' patterns gave me the ability to then write my own. When I'm designing my own, it's all about, oh, God, the inspiration comes from so many places, but many times it's color.
Yeah.
That's my big, huge kind of defining characteristic of my business, Felted Button, is color.
Yeah.
So that I start with that, and I love adding texture and doing interesting stitches. And then I just start playing. And some days it will take me, well, it might take me a month to get something worked out. It might take me an hour. I've had things that literally roll off my hook and they're exactly what I had in my head. And
I love that.
It's so fun when that happens. It's so rare. But when it happens, it's like magic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My gosh. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Where do you get your creative inspiration? Like, what sparks that? Where do you get your ideas? You know, where does that come from?
That's a good question, too, because it's a little unpredictable. Sometimes it's a photograph. Someone had taken this beautiful photograph of leaves, fallen leaves from, it was just in the fall, and they were kind of red, and they faded out into green across the grass. And uh-huh. I looked at it, and I saw a blanket.
I love that.
Yeah, I have a lot of them. I find myself picking blankets, I think, because they're kind of like, it's kind of like a canvas, like a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And then I kind of paint with yarn on it. I mean, that's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. So I make a lot of blankets.
Yeah.
And they're big and they take a while to make, but they're fun.
Yeah.
It's and a little
beautiful.
Piece of art.
They're beautiful.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you.
So you're getting inspiration from just life in general. Like anything can
yes.
spark that inspiration. And then you just take
yes.
that, you start looking for the color or whatever, mm-hmm. just to keep something new and fresh always coming out, which is great
exactly.
because like you have endless possibilities in the world,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's yep. awesome.
Endless possibilities. And I've gone to my daughter and I'll show her this little motif and I'll say, what do you think? And she'll be like, oh, Mom, you gotta make a, and give me some fabulous idea. So sometimes I get inspiration or ideas from other people bouncing off of think places that I've started.
Definitely. How does this hobby affect your family and, or not affect them maybe?
You know what? That's a good question because as a mom, you know how it is when you feel like you're kind of pulled in a number of directions. Mm-hmm. I never wanted this to interfere, but I know that there have been many times when I've been sitting on the sofa counting stitches and my little guy's talking to me
yeah.
and I just count louder because so he knows not to interrupt until my count's done. It kind of tugs at my heart a little bit
yeah.
that I'm not always 100% available for him. But then again, I know that that's okay.
Yeah.
And they're so incredibly supportive and excited about it. My boys usually give me yarn for holidays.
Of course.
Right?
You it's wouldn't so want anything else, right?
Right? They just give me yarn. They're sweet. And like I said, my husband has been an absolute gem. This business would not have been possible for me without him because his support of the business end of things, the technical end of things, all that behind the scenes infrastructure mm-hmm. that my business needs to function well.
Yeah.
And somebody, man, who'll take care of the money for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it's fun to make it sort of a family thing.
I found it so endearing the way Susan talked about her husband, Shannon. Their marriage is the epitome of the motto, opposites attract. I love the way they honor their differences and support each other's hobbies. Hashtag relationship goals for everyone. The distractions of juggling home, family, and hobbies can definitely be a challenge. And I wondered if there was ever a time when life didn't allow Susan to do her hobby. Was there ever a time when you couldn't do your hobby?
Yes, actually. I was in a car accident about 6 months before I opened my Etsy shop.
Oh, wow.
And so at that point, it wasn't actually business, but I was crocheting like a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And in this car accident, I basically crushed my left hand.
Oh, wow.
So like all the long bones in my hand were broken. I had lots of plates and lots of screws in there to hold it back together. And I had to rehab it and it was intensive. I can remember going into my hand therapist saying, I need you to help build me a splint so I can crochet.
Oh my gosh.
And he actually had me holding yarn and a hook with the splint and he molded it so that I could crochet with that broken hand.
Oh, wow.
While it was healing, kind of as therapy. And it was kind of hard not having that.
Yeah.
I missed it. And I was so determined. I mean, obviously you want your hand function,
yeah.
But crocheting kind of motivated me to get better and to get back because I needed to crochet.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
How did that affect you at that time?
I think the accident put me in a mode of, it taught me a lot of lessons about healing. And on a spiritual note, it taught me the lessons of healing that the Savior provides, mm-hmm. that he can take something broken and make it new and make it perfect and make it good. And for me, I learned all sorts of lessons during that time period. I feel like that spoke to my heart about the concept of healing and how we can be healed through him. I mean, you know how those traumatic life experiences that we go through so often do that for us. They give us those learning experiences that we don't otherwise get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, that was that car accident and my hand being broken and being dependent upon others. Mm-hmm. And kind of just having faith and trust that that I would regain function.
Yeah.
They were all good learning experiences for me.
What is your favorite part of your hobby?
Well, the actual designing.
Okay.
And I love the creative end of things. When I'm working mm-hmm. with my yarn and I'm taking pictures and I'm sharing with people, that is brilliant and fun.
Yeah.
The pattern writing is down the line. It's not my favorite part. I do it, of course, because I have to, because that is the brilliance of this business is that I create it once. I write this pattern mm-hmm. and it's this residual passive income that is so beautiful. But the very best part after all of this is said and done and the pattern is out there for the world to see what people can take from my written words and make something of their own,
yeah,
with their own interpretation and their own style and flair, and to see an idea that started in my head get translated through somebody else's brain to their hands and hook mm-hmm. into a beautiful finished object is magic.
Yeah, that is totally magic. I love
that's magic. It's like the very, very best part. And I've also loved the fact that I've gotten to meet so many people literally from mm-hmm. around the world. I have friends, I feel like I've never met them, but they're real friends, literally from all over the world. I got a great gal friend in Holland, some in Australia.
The technology that we have, I know like everyone kind of gets used to that and that's where we live and that's our everyday interaction. But when you think about the miracle of how we can connect with people all over the world, either through travel or the web or whatever, it's amazing to me. It's incredible.
I agree. Like what we're doing right now.
For
here,
sure.
I get to see your face and chat with you right here.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it really is. It's awesome.
I completely agree. And the other thing about this crocheting gig is that I kind of feel like both of my grandmothers were very, very talented with their hands. They tatted, they crocheted, they embroidered, they sewed. They had so many amazing gifts and talents. And I feel like when I'm crocheting, I'm kind of channeling them. I'm kind of honoring them.
Yeah.
It kind of connects me with them. And I find that really satisfying and it really makes me happy.
Yeah,
for sure. To be able
sure.
to do that.
I think sometimes these handicraft arts that are out there are lost to the younger generation.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like that catch-22 with technology, you know. They never develop these tactile
yes.
type skills. I think that that's also another thing that's amazing about that is you give them the opportunity to, you know, learn this skill, develop it, and find joy in something else besides the technology that's all around them.
Exactly. And I think younger and younger generations are discovering it now, and they're discovering the benefits of it.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a friend who wrote a book, basically how crochet heals. And she interviewed just gobs of women about their experiences with depression, anxiety, and struggles in their lives and how crocheting healed them.
Wow.
And it does. It connects you to the past, but yet you can still do totally cool current things. Mm-hmm. And I love to see that I've got followers who are 16 or 20, literally all ages. I have some, I have cute women who are 90 trying to figure out how to download. That one's a trick for them. It's a little challenging because they don't know how, but it's literally, it's all ages and it's a craft for all ages and it's super fun.
That's so cool. I love that. Last question. Do you have a secret hobby? Or something that maybe people don't know that you like to do. Because a lot of people know that you do crocheting. And
yeah, you know what? I'm so boring. I think all I do is crochet. I don't even have a life. Let's see. You know what? It's so funny. I have had phases in my life. I kind of do stuff. And when I do it, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. So when I was running track, I was all in. That's what I did. I was known as the runner. Uh-huh. And then when that phase of my life ended, I became a teacher. And that's what I did. I was a teacher. And I think I'm in the crochet pattern designer phase. So right now, no. But with that question, I have recently been teased with the idea of doing Taekwondo.
Oh.
Which sounds so funny, but I'm like, I need the balance. Uh-huh. I need the strength. I need the flexibility. I'm just feeling too old here. And when you're crocheting, you sit in a chair a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I need to get up and get moving. But knowing my personality, my temperament, if I'm in, I'm all in. I got to go for black belt. I'm not going to just be happy with a purple belt, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not quite ready to commit, but I'm close.
You're like just putting your toe in the water. You're kind of just going, is this something I want to go for or not?
Exactly. I'm taking my little boy to Taekwondo and he's loving it. And it's tempting
me. That's awesome.
I'm tempted.
I love that. Too so cute. I think we have sufficiently covered your hobby. So I'm happy about it. And I really appreciate you being willing to do it with us. And it's just for fun. It's just our fun, silly little hobby. But
I think it's an awesome idea. It's brilliant because you have an endless supply of interesting people to expose to the world. Well, you guys do a great job. It's fun to listen to. So,
well, thanks. I'm glad.
I appreciate you having me here. It's fun to chat with you.
Yeah. Okay. Take care. Love you guys.
Okay. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of A Little Brighter Podcast. Our podcast is produced by Jessica Niemann and hosted by yours truly, Nicole Graff. If you are interested in being in a future episode and sharing what makes your world a little brighter, please shoot us an email at alittlebrighterpodcast@gmail.com. We will be back this time next week. Hope you will tune in. And in the meantime, keep shining.